This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. At the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, there are three introductory quotes. They are as follows. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2. There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. The quotes in order are from Jesus, Shakespeare, and Mary Baker Eddy. If we really want to be pure in any treatment, we want to make sure we're always looking for the truth. And that we only let the truth into consciousness, we recognize it, and we live it. And if we do that, it will free us from any containment, limitation, deviation from the truth. This includes freeing us from the belief that is commonly accepted that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter. It will assist in establishing in thought that instead of life, truth, and intelligence being in matter, it is in infinite mind and its manifestation. And the reason is that God is all in all. That spirit is immortal truth, and matter is mortal error. That spirit is the real and eternal, and matter is the unreal and temporal. That spirit is God, and man, you, me, everyone, is spiritual. That is a freedom that is worth cultivating, no matter what the price. And the price is exactly giving up the false belief. Einstein stated, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. He also stated that if you are faced with a problem, you cannot approach the solution on the same level as where the problem appeared. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute believes that there are multiple levels of consciousness, no matter what the topic is, no matter how long you've been aware of the problem, or how advanced one thinks they are in their level of understanding the proper way to solve a problem. So if we're going to seek the solution, consider that you may have to go higher in your thought process than where the problem appeared in order to solve it, or you may have to go lower What do I mean by going lower? Any problem is a form of evil. Evil operates in such a way to try to make itself undetectable. It mocks the truth as closely as it can to look like the truth. It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Every deception possible is utilized in order to accomplish this. It typically tries to disparage character falsely, just fabricated. It presents decoys with every kind of face one could possibly think of. We have to make sure that we are not trying to solve the symptom, because the symptom is one of the features of decoys to cover up what the truth is. So in this case, we have to go lower than the symptom. We need to dig down to the root. What could it be? If we're on the way to a very important meeting and we're traveling in transportation as opposed to just walking from one room to the next in a building, even that could be used as an example. But there may be an interference in us getting where we want to go. And it can take any kind of a form. Any kind of an interference in all that tries to keep us from going to that meeting, or even to delay it, could be a symptom as opposed to the real root problem. The more important the event, the more tricky and deceptive evil presents itself. We have to make sure that we think about, well, where are we going? We're going to attend a meeting, a very important meeting that could have a major impact on the purpose of the meeting. The conclusion of the meeting could have a major impact. Decisions made may affect a lot of things. The attention of any prayer needs to be directed to the meeting and not the symptom that tried to prevent us or delay us from attending the meeting. That's the root. That's going down lower than where the problem appeared. The second quote by Shakespeare tells us a way we can approach it. In fact, it's really the only way. And that is to address our own thinking. And we need to feed into our consciousness the truth that combats the error that is hidden, but the real problem. We can first of all deny the symptom that it could possibly be real by stating there is no reality in an accident or in a delay, whatever the symptom seems to be. And why? Because God is the controller of every event, and God is omni-action. God is principle, which is structure, which includes balance and harmony. no deviation. It is a fixed principle because it is truth. We can refer to any of the facts about God. We could recite the definition of God. On page 465, it states, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And on page 587, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All-substance, intelligence. And on the same page, the definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. And on 591, the definition of man. Compound idea of infinite spirit. The spiritual image and likeness of God. The full expression of mind. We each are an individual manifestation of man. And that means no matter what a so-called biological classification may be, or a so-called age may be, it's an individual manifestation of man. So, whether it's supposedly a male or a female, a youth, or anyone of any age, child, full-grown adult, doesn't matter. An individual manifestation of man includes everyone. So it includes me. It includes everyone at that meeting or that's going to attend the meeting. And nothing can interfere with a meeting that is wholesome like this one. Nothing can interfere. Nothing can delay it. I know this to be true because God is truth. Genesis chapter 1 states in verse 26 and 27 that God made man in his image and likeness. And that's why we know as an individual manifestation of man that we are conscious of the truth because God is truth and we're made in God's image and likeness. I know of an instance where there was someone that had a very important meeting they had to attend. And all of a sudden, there was a flash flood of rain. Couldn't see. He stopped the vehicle, and he was on a bridge, a small bridge, that was passing over a small stream, and when he stopped, he slid off the edge where one wheel was hanging over the edge, and it was resting down on the frame of the vehicle. It was right where there was a auto repair service. The water filled the stream up very quickly. It was about 1.5 meters deep. So the individual got out of the vehicle and got to the office. It was very close. And asked for help. And he said, I've got a lot of men, but in this rain, I can't ask them to go out there. He said, I don't have any kind of a wrecker truck to pick it up. so I don't know how I can be of help right now. The individual went around the side of the building where he would be by himself, still raining cats and dogs. He gave up all sense of responsibility. He stated to himself something along the lines that God controls everything through the laws of God that are established and always have been true, principles included, which is structure, balance, and harmony. And there can't be anything that deviates from that perfection. As soon as he finished with that kind of a line of thinking, the rain stopped, and so he thought he would go out and sit in the truck. And the man saw him walking toward the truck. That was his vehicle. And he said, our men can lift this thing up and get it back on the bridge, and you can be on your way. And they waded down in the water that went up to their waist or higher. There must have been 20 men. And they lifted the truck. It was a sportsman truck, not a big industrial truck. And they lifted it up and put it on the bridge. Solved the problem immediately. It went from there's no solution to the solution taking effect in less than a minute. We cannot even conceive, if we utilize limited thinking, which is what happens if we're relying on a so-called brain, we can't conceive of the infinite possibilities of what the laws of God can produce. Here's the definition of day. The irradiance of life, light, spiritual idea of truth and love, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding, and mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. The unfolding is God's day, and there shall be no night there. That's a quote from Genesis chapter 1. If we begin our day with that kind of thought and the other things noted about the three introductory quotes, it's very likely that our day will be a day of preventative protection, so we don't even have to deal with a problem. But if we do, like this case indicates, this example, then it doesn't matter what the odds are that can be solved. God doesn't know anything about limitation of odds. His laws cover everything. Genesis chapter 1, which includes the spiritual history of Revelation, is divided into 7 days. And it states right in the text, this is day 1, day 2, and so forth. At the very end it says, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's day 6. And day 7 it says, and then God rested. And Mary Baker Eddy defines God resting as meaning that rest is action, because God rests in action. One cannot tire of any activity they're involved in. If it's an activity with a spiritual intent and viewing it through the lens of spirit and keeping on track with the laws of truth to make sure it doesn't deviate from a pure motive, where can tiredness originate? Tiredness cannot originate from a spiritual source. There's no tiredness with the substance being spirit, because spirit is flawless. It's the opposite of matter. Just like immortal divine mind is the opposite of a so-called mortal mind. Spiritual senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste are the opposite of material senses. Material senses are unreal. Matter is unreal. Mortal mind is unreal. The reality is the opposite. Immortal mind, spirit, spiritual senses. And the same is true with life. A life that cultivates exercising the qualities of God is the opposite of one that is focusing on a material sense. And as noted, principle is always harmonious and balanced. If we yield to the laws of principle, then we will be in that grand realm of divine principle, of balance and harmony. And if we're living that life of exercising God's qualities, then we're going to stay on the track of truth with all thought, speech, and action. Our motive will remain pure, and our results will be pure. We will realize how important our thoughts are because of what was recited from Shakespeare and what was discussed in his prayer treatment about truth being set free from limitation of believing that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter, because that's false. It's not in matter. It's in spirit. An infinite mind is the only mind there is. And if we follow along this line of thinking that was mentioned about mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, that means that we have been utilizing love all along. Because love is like a mother. We were nurturing all of the qualities of God, as expressed in the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That does not leave anything out. Nothing is left to chance. It is assigned directly, or rather it's recognized as being directly connected with the spiritual existence, which is the only real existence there is. There is no other. And as we keep our thought in line with the truth about God and man, and the relationship, as it states in Genesis and in the definition of man that was recited, we are the spiritual image and likeness of God. We must include, by living a life of love, everyone in this prayer at the beginning of the day. Whatever your prayer is, this is only provided as an example. And you can state that this includes every individual, every collective group, and in essence, all humanity. We don't have to have any power on our own, because God is all power. Everything that is real is God. And if we see a symbol that is expressing it, that's a symbol of the manifestation of God. Because God is the one and only source, and His manifestation is included as His source. The source always includes the manifestation. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a source. Even in individual daily activities we're involved in, that we may be initiating it, if we didn't have a result, we wouldn't be a source. If a pianist was the greatest pianist of all time, but never exercised the qualities of being a pianist, he wouldn't be one. That's why it's so important that we exercise the laws of God, so that we are reflecting them actively. And as we reflect them, it's impossible to get off track. It's only if we let up our guard, our protective filter of all thought, speech, and action, that we are faced with any kind of a difficulty. We have relaxed something in our thought, speech, or action that permitted a suggestion to enter into the picture. We must keep the door sealed that protects our consciousness of all existence from evil. And we're not going to waste our time wandering outside the realm of perfection to see what's going on with evil. It's like reading a medical dictionary. I've never done it, but I can imagine what it would do. And that is, it would embed in thought all of the different ailments that they teach, or they likely teach, the students when they're going to medical school. Our desire needs to be to keep it on spirit with all thought, speech, and action. And don't let any deviation sway us. But if there's a suggestion, it must be nipped in the bud at the onset of the suggestion, so that we can prevent it from having an impact. So we have to discover what the real error is, deny that it has any power or reality, and affirm its opposite to be the truth. And we stick with that until the healing is complete. And then we protect it with statements that are the ending of the prayer, which states that nothing can interfere with the success of this prayer treatment. Because there's nothing that has power besides God, and that's because God is omnipotent. And that power is right here because God is omnipresent. No matter where right here is, omnipresence is omnipresence. God cannot make any mistakes because God is omniscient, which includes all intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. This prayer treatment will close with a prayer from Mary Baker Eddy that she gave to her advanced students in 1898 in the final class of the Metaphysical College that she founded and operated for many years. And the final class was 1898. Thereafter, she instructed her students to get the truth from her writings. And there's a weekly Bible lesson, and we have on the website the historic ones for the year 1909. And those were all under the direction of Mary Baker Eddy herself. So you could study those. And they're designed so that there's one section to be studied each day. Because the one day prepares thought for the second day, and so forth, until all six sections are studied by the time Saturday is completed. And then your thought is prepared for the day of rest, which is resting in action. All of the tools are there. We're very fortunate to have those. If there's anything else that comes to thought as the prayer is being recited, I will add it after the Amen, which is for this whole prayer treatment, including particularly the prayer by Mary Baker Eddy. And that will be a prayer that is entitled Diapason of Heaven for Love by Mary Baker Eddy. Here is the prayer. Declare often, love is my God, and my God is love. Good is my God, and my good is love. Love is my God, and my love is good. Love is my principle, and my principle is love. Love is the law of my being. Divine love is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. This is the word of God. Amen. There is a thought that occurred, and that is the number one thing in our life should be that no matter what we are doing at the moment, think about how we can be of service to others. Jesus showed his humility by washing his disciples' feet. That was an example of what kind of humility and how deep and pure the humility should be. That was probably a very distasteful thing. In that day, everyone wore probably open sandals, and not only did their feet get dirty, but likely part of their leg. So washing the feet of another one certainly would be an act of humility. But we are involved in a lot of activities in our life, and many ways could be thought of to help others. Be alert when we're around other people, and if we're not, think about how we can do it. Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and three individuals that were really advanced in divine metaphysics, Christian Science, had 15-minute appointments. And by the end of 15 minutes, the individual that had come to visit them in their office of being a Christian Science practitioner were healed. They devoted their life to giving. And it wasn't just in the office hours of assisting in healing a problem. It was every phase of their life. The more we think about how to benefit others, the less we think about me, me, me. The more we think about spirit, the less we think about matter. And it goes right on down the line with all seven of the synonymous terms for God. If you have a question about anything in this prayer treatment, anything in the Bible or Mary Baker Eddy's writings, anything about Christian Science or the system of divine metaphysics, you're welcome and invited to contact us. Just utilize the contact information that is in the menu and also at the bottom of every page in the footer. The topic of this prayer treatment is all seven, meaning that it touched on all seven of the synonymous terms for God, and the primary topic was day, a suggestion on how one could begin their day. And it covers all groups, individual, collective, and universal. Therefore, the title is All Seven, Day, All Groups. It is April 16, Thursday, 2026, at 0457. Thank you for listening. The end.